Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Now into hour number three, we have a guest with an incredible airport horror story that follows the MO of these individuals you'll need to hear about. Then we'll continue with the news and your calls. But right now, let's go to Steve Putney, Greg, and others. Steve in L.A., thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got a question for you. Have you ever heard of a name, Indira Singh? The name Indira Singh, she was an emergency worker at Ground Zero on 9/11?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well,
it rings some dim bell, but fill me in.
Let me tell you, I've been looking into 9/11 for a couple of years now, and I got to tell you, I mean, the longer I look into it, the more I find, yeah, it stinks. The whole story stinks.
Yeah, we know the story's a lie. We know who had the motive.
Well, I came upon this interview that she gave in, I guess, April of 2005 on Pacifica Radio. She was an emergency worker at Ground Zero, and she worked for J.P. Morgan Chase in the Information and Technology and Risk Management Department there. And when 9/11 happened, she went down to help out, and her triage site was set up right next to Building 7. And according to her testimony, she was told by people identifying themselves as FDNY that they were going to bring the building down on purpose.
I've talked to over 50 people who even heard it on NPR, but they won't give us the tape. They refuse.
Right.
Well, send that right now. Do you have the link to that? And we'll find the clip and play it. Send it to Kevin at Infowars.com, and he'll grab it and send it to the network. Or I can put you on hold. You can email the link to the interview to John Harmon right now.
Please put me on hold because, you know, I have it queued up right now.
Let us hear it right now.
Absolutely. It's probably 30 seconds long.
Okay, just make sure you put your telephone right up by the speaker. Okay?
I will do. Here it is.
Okay.
Well, to the east of Building 7, where Building 7 came down, and what we were expecting as an EMT or trained for life survivors, and there were people on the pile digging and looking for survivors, and what would happen is they would bring someone out to the nearest triage center. We would stabilize them, put them in an ambulance, and send them further uptown. So we were setting up triage as close to the pile as possible, you know, as on it in many cases. So what we were doing was setting up different kinds of stations, IV stations, cardiac stations, just wound stations, burn stations, just trying to have an organized space. What happened with that particular triage site is that pretty soon afternoon, after midday on 9/11, we had to evacuate that because they told us Building 7 was coming down. If you had been there, not being able to see very much, just flames everywhere and dark smoke, it is entirely possible. I do believe that they brought Building 7 down because I heard that they were going to bring it down because it was unstable because of the collateral damage. That I don't know. I can't attest to the validity of that. All I can attest to is that by noon or 1 o'clock, they told us we had to move from that triage site up to Pace University, a little further away, because Building 7 was going to come down or being brought down. Did they actually use the word brought down, and who was it that was telling you this? The fire department, and they did use the word, we're going to have to bring it down.
That's pretty much it right there.
Okay, what's the name of the Pacifica show, and what's her name again?
The name of the show is Guns and Butter, and it's on Pacifica Radio. It's hosted by Bonnie Faulkner. You can reach that website at gunsandbutter.net and click on the archives. The archives to the show is April 27th, 2005, and the lady's name is Indira Singh.
Stay there. I want you to send us that link right now and tell us when in the interview it comes to that point, okay? Really good call there, Steve. Next time you got info like that, you tell the folks answering the phone to put you on immediately. In fact, I want to talk to Steve right now. We got another guest coming up. Let's talk to him right now.
It's cheer after a year in production and traveling to distant lands. My new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that Russia sponsored a terrorist training camp in Havana, Cuba, 1966? In this camp, they planned terrorist activity on every continent, including the United States. Have we seen terrorist activities on every continent just as they plan? We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening, more about Bible prophecy, by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 for a one-year free subscription to Newswatch Magazine. It's free. Call now while operators are standing by to take your call.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The show Guns and Butter is a very respected program. I believe I've been on there as a guest. I've been on Pacifica many times. I had heard the name Indira Singh. I had heard the name of some of the other firefighters and emergency workers who've been on the show. I'm so busy, I'll be driving along at midnight listening to, you know, local NPR and hear some firefighters saying there were bombs. I mean, there's so many, folks. You're at Ground Zero, they're all telling you this. There's very few that will go public. The Loose Change guys got in contact with a fellow who's about to go public who said they saw the bombs going off and the molten steel and all the rest of it. But this Indira Singh thing, we are now confirming on the Guns and Butter site. We're getting those clips. We'll get the host on. We'll get their names. We'll get them back on. In fact, a few months ago, I actually told my producer, he gets very busy, about, and I guess I didn't give him all the details, but we need to get, just send it to Kevin at Infowars.com, all the firefighters, all the police, all the emergency workers that you've heard on the radio. There's so many of them, it's the problem. We need to get them all in one big article where you can just, like, here's 25 of them. You know, we got video clips of them, we got audio clips of them, we got them in People Magazine saying it. But still, the disinfo individuals run around saying it's not true, none of it's real. All right? This is really big. And, you know, it is. Aaron James has an incredible story, and I feel sorry for him because the last 2 days the news has been so hot and furious. We've been following so many things. I mean, I even forgot to call the lady back yesterday who was in the Army who saw him handing out upwards of $2,000 every few weeks to him in Baghdad off the giant pallets of $14 billion, one delivery of $4 billion, weighing 363 tons.
And that was in Reuters. But then I have eyewitnesses calling in. I write down her number. I put it in the pile. I don't give it to my writers. Paul Watson, Steve Watson, Aaron Dykes, they need to be writing articles about this. It's just news breaking continually. And it's stuff that we overlook. I mean, NPR in New York did announce they were going to blow that building up. Okay, I've talked to over 50 people. I've talked to cops who heard it. You call NPR, there is no archive of it. They won't give it to you. Okay, I've got cops on tape, I got firemen on tape, I got all these people on tape saying it. They all heard it, they all saw it. And we just start talking about some new whistleblower, and here a caller calls in and goes, hey man, for 2 years, this has been on the web at a major syndicated news program. And this happens all the time. I get emails about this stuff, I get leads. I mean, there's not that many of us here. It's just... there's so many stories, so many things we want to talk about. So in about 20 minutes, we'll get into this. And the caller who brought this up and gave us this info is on hold. We're going to be getting clips of it, playing it. John Harmon does the job of 10 people up there at the network. I want to commend him answering the phone, front of the show, and doing clips. It's insane. Support Genesis more so we can get more people in there to help him. Aaron James was a mixed race. She's not a Muslim. I believe he said his mother is white, his dad was black and Asian. So I guess that was one big thing against him. And basically, let me just put the story in a nutshell. Let's just have him put it in a nutshell. And he's got a website. We've had it up there for 2 days on InfoWars. Visit it. And this is the exact same stuff we see over and over again. If you argue in any way, they go ahead and taser you, beat you. If you say, I don't like to be racially profiled, or you complain, they stand around you and make fun of you. I've had it happen to me. Just out of the blue for no reason in L.A., they just said, oh, you got stinky feet. Ha ha. You want something you want to say, Mr. Stinky Feet? And I guess these were racist black guys who don't like white guys. You know, they're just having a little fun with a white guy. Well, it's really, that's the problem with racism. People just do it back to each other. Aaron James is our guest, and he was charged with felony first degree. Sir, thank you for holding. I'm sorry we moved you today, and I'm sorry there's so much other stuff breaking around you coming on, but thank you for joining us. In a nutshell, tell folks what happened to you.
Thank you for having me here.
You bet.
To caption it quickly, as an overview, we were profiled on our way down due to issues of ethnicity, and we arrived at our hotel without our baggage because the airline had confiscated it, had the logs, and had rummaged through our baggage looking for whatever you look for when you're profiling someone. We were told, the airline had told us, that they had simply misplaced our baggage, that it would be delivered to our hotel immediately upon discovery. It arrived at our hotel with a note appended to it indicating this bag has been seized, searched, locks cut due to issues of national security. And so they were not very shy about telling us that we had been profiled. We made a complaint on account of this, and on our return trip, we complained at the Northwest Airlines desk. I should back up somewhat and say that we went down to the Mayo Clinic as a surgical consult over an injury that I had sustained to my arm. And so when I was attacked and left in a pool of blood on the middle of the aisle of an aircraft on my way back, they were attacking a man who had the use of one arm and who had done nothing in order to instigate this attack or warrant this attack. We complained on our return flight. They were very aggressive. They ripped the complaint form from my hand when I indicated, when I used the words profiling, and said, well, you won't be needing this complaint form then, will you? We noticed that...
Well, let's just make it clear. You flew down from Canada to the U.S. Your bags don't come. They say they searched them. You went to the airport and said, I want a complaint form for being racially profiled. That's when it all started. Go through it.
He ripped the complaint form from my hand and said, I said, I may be following this up from a legalist perspective because this is profiling. He said, well, if you're going to go that route, you won't be needing this then. And he ripped the complaint form from my hand. There were three of them at the desk while we were speaking. I looked back, and I noticed that seven of them had gathered and convened about the desk just before we took the elevator up to the main level, and they were giving us very hostile looks and gestures. We then took our return flight. It was the trip from Rochester on a return flight to Minneapolis. took place without incident. We had complained on a return trip at Rochester. However, our trip from Rochester, from Minneapolis to Winnipeg, ended in disaster. We were attacked, and by all appearances, this attack was very much premeditated. It was Flight 1628, Northwest Airlines, 7:15 p.m. at Minneapolis Airport, Bloomingdale. And what happened is that within 30 seconds of having boarded the aircraft, Northwest Airlines stewardess Sherry Caudell began harassing, accosting the mother verbally on the count of an issue with a bag. She stated, "Is there a problem here?" twice, and loud enough to draw the attention of the entire set of 150 passengers.
I'd just like to say here, I've never been addressed like that by an airline attendant before in my life.
Yeah, let's be clear. Tell us who we're speaking with, just for the audience.
I'm Aaron's mother. I was with him. We went down together because we were expecting to have surgery on Aaron's arm.
Okay, and then what did the flight attendant say to you? Just out of the blue, tell us the story.
Just out of the blue, I'm just sitting there minding my own business, and all of a sudden this woman is standing at the end of my aisle, and she says to me in a very loud and aggressive, hostile tone, "Is there a problem here?" Well, I had no idea that...
Now, again, how this happens is you stand up and say you're going to file complaints with the goons outside, and that's how they do it. They wait then until they get you on the plane. Then they've got you in the national security zone and can use the marshals and everybody else on you.
They targeted us, but good.
Okay, so you're there. What happens next? Okay, so she says...
Is there a problem here?
And folks, I've already read the report. That's why I'm going through the story with them. And you can link to it up on InfoWars.com. So just, is there a problem here? What happened next?
Well, I told her I didn't know what she was talking about, and she indicated the bag that Aaron had left on our seats when he went to the bathroom. And she, very hostile, said, "Does this belong to you or somebody else?" I explained it was Aaron's. I was shocked. I have to admit, I was thinking at the time, if you were an airline attendant in Canada, you would not have a job. Nobody talks to a customer like that. That's what was I was thinking at the time. I knew nothing about the fact that they had all taken Homeland Security training programs.
Oh, yeah, they're all little Jack Bowers.
Paranoid.
I understand. So what happened next?
Okay, Aaron, you take it from there.
Okay, just to clarify, you can look on my website, aaronjamesstory.com. That is AaronJamesStory.com. You'll see a link regarding the Homeland Security training as well as links to much of the material we're about to discuss. In any case, so they had just finished and freshly finished this training, which was a training in order to promote extremism and hostility in general. She asked my mother twice if there was a problem regarding the bag. My mother.
Well, look, that's an old bad cop trick. You're just calm, and they want you out of an area or something, and they say, "You got a problem? Huh? What's the problem?"
And then
at that point, I just put my hands at my side, and then if they start moving forward, you just lay down.
I see.
And that's how you get them, because they're still going to attack you, and then you get to send them to prison. But go ahead.
Okay. I was in the washroom at this time because within 30 seconds of having boarded the aircraft, when my mother was getting seated, I went to use the washroom. And even in this brief span of time, she's already being profiled and verbally accosted. On my way back from the washroom, as I'm walking down the aisle, Sherry Caudell, the same stewardess, accosted me in the aisle. I walked past, and she had said something that was very soft and indiscernible. I didn't respond. We'd already been profiled. I wasn't exactly on the best of terms with Northwest Airlines to begin with after this point, but I heard a voice yelling at me from behind me, and she, again, the same response, "Is there a problem here?" In fact, she said, "Do you have a problem?" this time, and I wasn't sure that she was speaking to me. I hadn't done anything to mitigate that kind of response, and she stated it twice, again, "Do you have a problem?" And I was walking away, and I noticed the voice didn't get it. It wasn't any further away than it was the first time I turned, and she was standing right in front of me, invading my personal space. And I said, "No." She said, "Well, are you sure?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Well, no, there's no problem here." And every time that she spoke, her voice raised just a little bit more to try to grab attention. She was attempting to villainize us in front of the audience.
They got
to
do that before they beat you down with pleasure.
Exactly.
Stay there. Let's go through what happened from that point on. Not only do you get a good beating now in the Nazi America, you get to get a charge on top of it. In the old days, they just beat you up. Now you get a charge with it.
Now you can bring Berkey Purification Power anywhere with the Sport Berkey Filtration Bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hello friends, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Attention, this is an urgent GCN News Bulletin. Do you desperately need to get out of debt fast? Would you like to make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're a GCN listener, there's a very real chance that you'll now be able to do it. Here's why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're cheating, but they're not. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Learn how to finally teach those financial vultures some humility by beating them at their own game, and above all, learn how to bail out for a soft landing. Get control, get relief, get some sleep. Go to www.outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com. Or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Huge audio clip from the show Guns and Butter. I'm going to get the host on and the people, the emergency workers, Kevin McFadden, I believe firefighter, another emergency responder, Indra Singh, about the bombs and the buildings being brought down. We're going to put a big article together. We'll have to really put our thinking caps on to remember all the people that have gone public, and we'll try to stick them all in there for you. I mean, this is the type of work needs to be done. Okay, going back to Aaron James and his mother, who I didn't know was going to be on with us today, or perhaps my producer didn't tell me, so I apologize for not suddenly going, hey, what's going on? Let's accelerate through what happened next on the plane, and then what happened after when they followed you to Canada, and what subsequently has happened. Aaron James, please continue.
Very quickly, then, there were five counts of harassment aboard the aircraft. The first was the issue over the bag. The second, the blatant harassment in the aisle. Third, the same stewardess came back, asked us about customs forms again once she'd, yet she'd already...
Okay, let's stop right there. So this is ongoing. When did you get jumped on?
Well, after we were announced lunatics over the open PA system by a stewardess who would later say we're trained to kill before we were killed, they rerouted the aircraft to the main port. Five officers came on board. A false report of an irate passenger had been released, yet the senior stewardess reiterates James remained calm and composed at all times.
So a response team, basically a prison tackle gang, anybody that's seen the video of that, so describe what happened.
All with pistols, with guns, and two with taser weapons as well, walked onto the aircraft. We were pointed out. They walked over to my seat. I asked these officers, Sean Hort, number 54, Sergeant Milton, 14, Brad Wingate, 89, Stephen Swaggart, 46, Sergeant Alvin Cooper, number 15, five of them. Yet they'll only claim that there were four officers on board. I'll get into that just a moment. We were pointed out, and I asked them three questions. Am I under arrest? Have I committed any crime? Am I being charged? Their response was emphatically, no, sir, you are not, to all three questions. And they asked me then to get up out of my seat. I capitulated. And then they demanded, now get off the plane. I asked, well, if I'm not under arrest, I've committed no crime, and I'm not being charged, under what authority are you asking me to leave the aircraft? And there was no answer to this question. Their response was an attack upon an injured man who had come back from the Mayo Clinic, leaving me in a pool of blood with my mother looking on in horror, who was thereafter threatened herself.
What did they do to you?
Tasered me incessantly with 50,000 volts to the chest. In writing, they elbowed me in the head. I received the 12-stitch laceration to my brow, and I had to be rushed to the hospital. I was left literally in a pool of blood in the middle of the aisle of the aircraft. They tried to kill me. And the thing is, in writing, they have it stipulated in writing that they had this taser over my left chest, which, of course, is the heart, for over 10 seconds, in writing. Now,
why, when they tasered you, would they beat you on the head and give you 12 stitches?
They elbowed me. I began by blocking the taser, trying to block the taser. At no point did I lay any hands on them, however.
But not just exactly. Like, you just got to, like, take your shirt off and go, please hit me. I mean, if you do anything, I mean, like, was it assault on a taser dart? They'll probably start having burials for taser darts. They already have that for police dogs. You kick a police dog that's attacking you, 44 years. One guy yelled in Newcastle, PA, 6 years ago at a police dog, Associated Press. He was walking through a mall parking lot. The dog, the window was down, jumped out and scared him. The guy went, ah, and yelled back. That's happened to me before with other people's dogs. And yelling was assault, and he got 2 years in prison. So you're lucky. I mean, pretty soon they'll probably have ceremonies for taser darts, and we'll have to bow down and, oh, the officer, the taser dart. I'm sorry.
Okay. I appreciate where you're coming from on that. Brad Wingate, and to make this even clearer, in the hospital, on stand, and there was a trial, and there were FBI, CIA, NSA, and military, Northwest Airlines employees, and Minneapolis police on the jury pool itself, which is illegal, of course, because the jury pool is randomly selected, quote-unquote. But off of the stand, in private, they admit everything to you. And what he said was, I was receiving my 12 stitches to my head. Well, you were cooperating all times, and you're just a good guy. But of course, you're a big guy, so we weren't sure what you were going to do, and so we had to act. And so
they get them in such a position of fear that they just a bunch of savage animals.
Well, this is where the profiling aspect comes to it.
Big black guy.
They see a large minority. They associate, and they've been trained to by these profiling programs that are going on. And as my website will indicate on that link, their Minneapolis profiling program is one of the pioneer projects, and so probably one of the more severe.
But let's go through briefly when we get back, and we'll have to have you on as this develops. But let's go through what they charge you with, what happened when they came to Canada for you, the threats you got. And then you're at the trial, and they're like, yeah, we know you didn't do anything, but, you're not cop, you're little people. And this happens all the time on these planes. I mean, a pregnant woman doesn't want to be strip searched in front of people in crowds, they beat her down. You won't drink your breast milk, you're beaten down. I take it when they stood around laughing at me.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We at The Bible Says want to alert the world to the topic of the Mark of the Beast. Soon it will be upon us as an overwhelming surprise. The world is pressing toward a forced one-world religion. The real issue behind this is the union of church and state, nullifying our First Amendment. Americans will have to give up their peculiar beliefs and accept what the new world religious leaders prescribe. In 2005, President Bush signed the Real ID Act, which goes into effect May 11, 2008. Many people believe that this will be the mark of the beast because of the restrictive measures included, which seems to parallel the no buying and selling of Revelations 13:17. In Revelations 14:9, speaking of the mark of the beast, it says, "If any man worship the beast, take notice." It says, "Worship the beast." This issue is about worship, not economics. For a better understanding of this very important topic and to receive your three free books and a free DVD, call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715.
Shelley, you look Oh, wait. Why did you turn that down?
I get so tired of that girl's squeaky voice. I'm sure the bed fan works, but that squeaky voice.
Well, what's the bed fan?
It's a fan that helps hot sleepers stay cool at night.
I could use something like that. This menopause thing is really getting to me at night, and you know how I am about doing that hormone therapy thing. Besides, you're a hot sleeper yourself. You're always throwing the covers off in the middle of the night.
I guess you're right. Why don't we try it? Just think how nice it'll be to sleep through the night.
Yeah, and just think how nice it'll be this summer and all the money we can save on air conditioning.
I know where we can get some more information.
Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? The bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
That's bedfan.com.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8820.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him, they can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer. But the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning.
What, about 4 months ago it came out in the Denver Post and the Associated Press that head air marshals and a bunch of their deputies went public saying, look, we're told to put people on terror list every month. We have to have quotas to keep the illusion that there's this big threat going, and we put innocent people on there for no reason, and this is on their permanent record forever. And I've looked at this case. I've looked at the reports. He's got masses of documentation on his website, Aaron James does. And he got the beat down. He got tasered. He got his head split. He went to the hospital, and they don't stop there now because they got to protect themselves now. So that's the problem. When they wrongfully attack you, then they got to make sure and put you under into the system so that you, you know, to protect themselves. Boy, that's really bad karma. I don't believe in karma itself, but, you know, just the you reap what you sow, I do believe in. And, man, I wouldn't want to be just in God's crosshairs. It just, boy, you're all the bad stuff's going to happen to them in their lives. It isn't going to be any man that does it. It's going to be God. And I just hope evil people understand that you do bad stuff, you got really bad stuff coming up. And it's real. It's real. You need to know that. You need to understand that. I'm scared to do wrong, folks, because I know. I've experienced it. You do good, you get rewarded. You do bad, you get punished. And it isn't man that does it most of the time. Just finishing up, Aaron James, with just the whole saga, what happened, and then how we can help you.
Well, there was a massive cover-up that followed. The first thing I would state that is that Northwest Airlines claims that there was no camera aboard the aircraft, which is absolute nonsense. This is ludicrous. There's always a camera aboard a flight, no less an international flight between nations. And so in order to falsely implicate and cover up for their crimes and avoid culpability, they tried to confine my mother to the plane, insisted that she couldn't come off. And I've been instructed that if they had been successful in this, that I might be dead at this point. They then falsified the reports. They then withheld their badge numbers. They then rearranged the positions on the aircrafts as reported in their falsified reports. Only 4 of the 5 badge numbers were given in the end. And once this was complete, they followed suit with a massive media villainization to spread a false message throughout the masses and indoctrinate the people.
Oh, yeah, all the time you hear, they were beating Al-Qaeda again today. They took him down.
Of course.
Another deadly Al-Qaeda defeated.
And so on the internet, radio, television, and newspaper, over 100 counts, over 40 counts found on the internet alone of independent media reporting on this. And what gets worse is that I've now recently found no less than 5 government and FBI sites up on the internet with my name under major crimes. And so...
Well, they use you for statistics. Look at the Al-Qaeda we're defeating. Oh, really? And of course, they're told, put innocent people in the system. It's all part of the meat machine. Go through the trial, but go through how they sent FBI up to Canada, how you got threatened. Go through that.
Even before this happens, there was a nightmare in jail. No Miranda rights, beaten down, left in a pool of blood. I was then jailed 9 days with bail denied and FBI interrogation in one agent, FBI agent Mark Wrench, who would later appear at my home. But in this cell in Minneapolis, the FBI were admitted in conjunction with access to outside communication being illegally cut off via making my calling
card. Yeah, no lawyers, no nothing, just being interrogated. It's all freedom.
No, and they also cut off, they made my calling card defunct so that it wouldn't work, so that the standard issue calling card was no longer functional. I could not call a Canadian consulate, no one knew where I was.
How did you finally get out?
My mother had been in attendance, and again, I was instructed that if she wasn't there, I may not be where I am today. But they waited for the pool of blood to pool out of my eyes so that I'd be more presentable. And 9 days gave them a sufficient time to concoct a story, try desperately to find any links, perhaps to Al-Qaeda or terrorist threats. During the time I was interrogated, there were threats in the elevator shaft. All medical attention that was ordered by the doctor was denied. Canadian consulate refused intervention, despite I emphasized that I was in severe danger. And again, this bail hearing came the very day after one of the guards walked into my cell and instructed me, "Oh, that's very interesting. Your eye seems to be much better today." And so at that point, they felt it was safe to release me because most of the evidence of what they had done had been washed away. The blood had pooled out of my eye.
We only got a minute or two left. Then just finish up the story.
There was a bail hearing, an unprecedented 3-day bail hearing. We were then put on a no-fly list, a 14-hour bus ride back to Winnipeg. We were then threatened at the border by Chris Neeson, U.S. Customs personnel, and that he said that you were going to have major problems when you come back to the border for your trial. And the day after this, another barrage. I saw FBI agent Mark Wrench, the same agent outside my home, 11 p.m., all the way up from Ned States, and apparently there are over 135 cases of this on record. We're fast becoming North American Union. And so, again, why is he here? He simply wanted to make sure where to find me beyond any plausible doubt because of the fact that they intended to come
to
me.
Yeah, basically the feds just spend all their time protecting themselves from bad deeds they've done. What about the threat you then got?
Well, the threat was that there was a trial. Again, I mentioned there were secret government agents, FBI, NSA, CIA, Minneapolis police, Northwest Airlines employees, the airline which I was attacked, as well as prosecuting attorneys themselves. And then following this trial, even if you want to call it, it's actually a tribunal, the judge, Judge David S. Doty, and the charges against him can be seen at CLR.org under federal judges. He's a charged ex-U.S. Marine for a judge, threatened that he would have the U.S. Marshals come and get us, and literally that he compared it and likened it to Hollywood, indicating that Hollywood exaggerates the FBI, but not the U.S. Marshals. He says that they're every bit the bloodhounds that they're portrayed to be, and this is all in the middle of a courtroom. You might say this is preposterous, but who's there to hear it when the jury pool is the government itself? Threats on the answering machine, threat of 9 years imprisonment, registered legal mail sabotage, wiretapping, voicemail deletion. My friends were threatened, the threat of a full jury trial.
And it's all because they got scared and beat you down, and they want to protect themselves.
Exactly. And so amidst all of this, I get 5 plea bargain attempts in conjunction with this torrent of illegal threats and intimidation.
So how did it all end? Because I've got to end it now. How did it all end?
Well, there's currently there's this outstanding warrant for my arrest. They've villainized us through the media. I've been hospitalized 6 times due to heart palpitations and heart attack like symptoms. Friends and family have been terrorized, and again on the impetus of this threat that the U.S. Marshals will get me and get us, I currently sleep with my door barricaded.
I'm so sorry, and this could happen to anybody flying. You know, it's worse if you're black. It's worse if you're a big guy, but it's bad for everybody. And
like the stewardess says, we are trained to kill before we are killed. This is a stewardess speaking.
No, they're just, it's insanity. Look, they got mad at you filing a complaint. They called up. They do it all the time. They do it on the plane because they have even more powers there. And they did this to you, and, you know, it's all on their soul. And see, that they're worldly and don't believe that, but they'll find out. And don't worry. You've been through a lot, but God will have his way with them in the end. But how can we help you?
Well, again, we are not guilty of any felony assault. In fact, there's this, the assault that they have me down on is a minor assault, and they have me on an FBI site under major crimes. The point is that we're in fact completely innocent of all of these things, and yet government has abandoned us. We've been to Amnesty International, Foreign Affairs, ACLU.
Oh, no, they're really there to cover it all up.
ACLU tried to deny that any civil rights or violations to humanitarian liberties were made on board that aircraft, at which point I asked, being left in a pool of blood is then not a violation.
So again, I got to go because I got another story coming up, and we'll follow this as it develops. What are you? How can we help you?
We would like to try to create a greater sense of urgency and responsibility amidst the groups and organizations, amongst activism and government, especially in being responsible in responding to these kind of incidents, in particular.
So to make a long story short, you've been convicted or you've been charged with first degree felony assault.
Attacked, left in a pool of blood, terrorized, convicted, and wrongly violated,
okay.
Yes.
Not guilty of felony assault.
Guilty of felony assault.
What are they saying you're guilty of?
Well, they're falsely accusing of minor assault, and they have me on an FBI site under major crimes. Again,
okay.
This is simply deliberate villainization.
So are you going back to court, or is this done?
Well, no, there's currently this warrant out for my arrest. If I come across the border, then I'll be attacked again. And this judge has said that he has sent the U.S. Marshals to get us. And follow us like bloodhounds, and so this is where this is at the present time. So we're trying to.
I know you're in a lot of. Listen, we're going to follow this. We'll talk to you soon. We'll get you back on the show. God bless you. We'll all pray for you.
Thank you so much. Just
an example of a cornered family going through hell. We'll follow your case and talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, then, Alex.
Thank you. We could talk hours about this, and folks, we get hundreds of calls every couple of days with similar things. And then later we even get squad car video. People tell us these type of stories, then we get the video where they don't touch the cops, they're beaten to a pool of blood, and they end up going to prison for assaulting cops. I mean, America is a cesspool. All right? We are an evil, decadent cesspool. And it's only going to get worse. All right, I've got like 10 minutes of broadcast time left. This is huge news. Earlier, we reported on a gentleman who's about to go public, hopefully. Ground Zero EMT, we were told to get out of the building. The Building 7 was going to be demolished. We've got that report, but a new one's going up. There's so many of these people, Lou Caccioli and the firefighters, talking about bombs going off and molten steel like lava. This is from the program Guns and Butter, big program, nationally syndicated out of New York. And this is where they are interviewing Kevin Padden, we'll tell you about him, emergency worker, and Indra Singh, emergency worker, where they're talking about the bombs and being told to get back. They're going to bring Building 7 down. So here are real people on the record, more of them, And what do the feds do with their websites? They just say none of it's real. Yeah, well, it is real. I couldn't literally do my work because of the firefighters slapping me on the back and saying, we know they blew up 7, we were told to get back. Okay? At the remembrance, at ground zero. Let's go ahead and roll this first clip from Guns and Butter, the nationally syndicated program, with Indra Singh. Here it is.
What we were expecting as an EMT or trained for live survivors, and there were people on the pile digging and looking for survivors, and what would happen is they would bring someone out to the nearest triage center. We would stabilize them, put them in an ambulance, and send them further uptown. So we were setting up triage as close to the pile as possible, you know, as on it in many cases. So what we were doing was setting up different kinds of stations, IV stations, cardiac stations, just wound stations, burn stations, just trying to have an organized space. What happened with that particular triage site is that pretty soon after noon, after midday on 9/11, we had to evacuate that because they told us Building 7 was coming down. If you had been there, not being able to see very much, just flames everywhere and dark smoke, it is entirely possible. I do believe that they brought Building 7 down because I heard that they were going to bring it down because it was unstable because of the collateral damage. That I don't know. I can't attest to the validity of that. All I can attest to is that by noon or 1 o'clock, they told us we had to move from that triage site up to Pace University, a little further away, because Building 7 was going to come down or being brought down.
Did they actually use the word brought down, and who was it that was telling you this?
The fire department, and they did use the word, we're going to have to bring it down. And for us there, observing the nature of the devastation, it made total sense to us that this was indeed a possibility. Given the subsequent controversy over it, I don't know. You know, I'm not an engineer. I don't know. All I know is, you know, that was my experience. We backed off a little bit to Pace University. There was another panic around 4 o'clock because they were bringing the building down. And people seemed to know this ahead of time, so people were panicking again and running. I went back to One Liberty, which was further south of where I was before, and there were triage sites set up in there. We were treating basically people who were on the pile digging for survivors, if there were any, and it was basically chaos. I asked who was in charge, for instance, because I'm supposed to check in with whoever's in charge, and no one seemed to know. It was complete and utter chaos there. If there was someone in charge, the normal response units around for a multi-casualty incident, they didn't know. One of the big problems is that so many people in the fire department and the police department at high level...
And we're gonna go through all this and play more of it tomorrow. We're going to get the host and these individuals on very soon. That's the main priority, Kevin. Get on it. I know you're already on it. Let's be clear. Now when they fall back and say, okay, maybe we did blow it up, then there's no discussion of how it takes weeks to set a building to be imploded. Okay? And I remember ABC News when I was in the car that afternoon when it fell. And then I got home and saw the replays. They were announcing Building 7's on fire. It could fall and damage other buildings. So they want to bring it down. They may bring it down to save other buildings. Everybody heard it. The firemen all heard it. It's hidden in plain view. And it's still denied. People still try to deny it. I've talked to countless firefighters, and there have been firefighters in newspapers and magazines that have said it. Bombs going off. They were told to get back. It was going to be brought down. No modern steel building had ever fallen from fire. 3 of them did that day. Building 7 not hit by a plane. Play one more time the firefighters talking about the molten steel running down the channel rails like a foundry in Tower 1 and 2. You got that? Because this is so important. Here it is.
You'd get down below and you'd see molten steel. Oh. Molten steel running down the channel rails. Like you're in a foundry.
Yeah.
Like lava.
Like a volcano.
Well,
now that's Tower 1 and 2 brought down by unconventional demolitions, cutter charges, and blast charges. But then you have Building 7. And when we get back, Kevin McFadden, emergency worker, and what he saw and what he witnessed. So you want names, their names right there. And the names go on and on and on. Do you have the clip where they're talking about it looked like it was a controlled demolition, as if they had detonators, boom, boom, boom? Yeah, we'll get that clip, too. We'll play that coming out, then we'll play the new clip for you. How's that sound? A fire department situation room filled with firefighters talking about it. Okay? We got two in the computer. Make sure it's the one that's got the cussing cut out, please. Sometimes we have the raw clip in there, too. John working like an octopus with 18 arms. We'll be right back after this quick break. Final segment in the InfoWar zone, engaging the enemy at point-blank range and winning every time. Here, after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the look of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? These answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high resolution full color maps and full color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
We made it outside. We made it about a block.
We made it at least 2 blocks, and we started running. Floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was just a detonator, take down a building.
All the way down. I was watching it and running. Just ran up west. And then you just sort of this cloud of chasing you down.
All right. And we've got other clips of Dan Rather and Peter Jennings saying looks like controlled demolition. But here is emergency worker Kevin McFadden on national radio. 2 years ago, we just learned of this. There's so many witnesses talking about the controlled demolition of the buildings. Here it is.
It was surreal. It was surreal from the start, like immediately.
I went to local stores. I got equipment that I could procure, tools, anything that I could put together, food, and I just ran over the Williamsburg Bridge and ran downtown. Actually, I ran to Vesington Church, I believe it was, where I was staging with the Red Cross, and that wound up being like a lot of bureaucracy and nonsense. But even then, they said, hey, you know, like, you got to stay behind this line because they're thinking about taking this building down. They're not sure if it's stable or not. So they were holding a line off because they had knowledge that something was going to happen. Well, you know, they pushed us back a little bit. About 15 minutes later, a couple minutes later, they started calming down. They let the border through. People started coming back out into the street. We watched like 5 New York City buses jam-packed with people wanting to do search and rescue, head down there towards Building 7. People walked out into the middle of the street to see these people off, like Bon Voyage. And right then, Building 7 came down, and it was a stampede. And people were just mowing people over, just trampling. I picked a woman up off the ground, and I thought I maybe touched her the wrong way, and she turned around and took a swing at me. And I said, no, you got to run that way, like run like you never did before. I actually gave her a little kick in the rear. It was like about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the 11th. I'm not sure exactly about the time, because I was there for 4.5 days, and all I could really attest to with time is that I woke up 3 times. And everything else was just...
And we're going to continue to research these and get these individuals on. Let's be clear now. Let's be crystal clear here. The feds and Silverstein have tried to implicate the firefighters because they took orders. They told the fire department, i.e. Silverstein, the feds, were running that drill, oh, we don't know if this thing's safe, so we're going to go ahead and bring it down so it falls cleanly. And then when you talk about how the fire department said, get back, we're going to bring the building down, then the feds will say, the attack dogs, oh, you're blaming the firefighters for blowing it up. No, they were told, get back, they're going to bring it down for safety reasons. So that's Silverstein knowing the stories out there, trying to plant that as an out for himself. As I said 4 years ago when this story broke, as I'm still saying today, and, you know, now we need to do this for a long time because we've interviewed so many, talked to so many, gotten so many clips. It's in martial law. It's in Terror Storm. We just have to go get all the clips and all the people and all the news articles and all the audio clips. There's probably 75 of them, guesstimation, and post them all in one big mother load story on PrisonPlanet.com. And then you've got to get it and just take it out there and, you know, headline. There can be no doubt. Scores of eyewitnesses told to get back that Building 7 was going to be brought down. Controlled demo. No debating it. Open and shut case. New World Order operation. Grand jury should be calling people in for testimonies. Indictment should be zipping out everywhere. And again, people have a mind conditioning where immediately when they go, okay, well, they had to bring it down. Well, the point is they lied about it. And they couldn't plant bombs in a few hours. If you want to support us, go to InfoWars.com. Get all the books and videos we've made that we put out, the other books and videos we're carrying. That's what makes us be able to operate. I'm jamming, packing these shows so much, I don't even really plug my stuff anymore. Just support us, InfoWars.com. My passion is so great to get the news out, I don't even have a lot of time now to plug my videos. Go to InfoWars.com, get them, or PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 to 2 Central Live. God bless you all. Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.